Just verify what you say before you say it. All right, Matthew chapter 8. Let's get to something that is in the Bible. How about that? We're on safe territory here. Matthew chapter 8. I'm going to read the first four verses, and then we're just going to kind of let the Lord show us some things about this leper. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you'd help me tonight to be a channel that you can work through, and thank you for these precious folks who are here. May we look to heaven tonight and this Bible passage about this leper that you healed and cleansed. May we see ourselves in these verses tonight, Lord. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. And nobody can doubt that our Lord was a miracle worker. But one thing you should always remember when you look at the miracles of Christ, he never performed miracles to be an end in themselves. The miracles were never to be his primary purpose in coming to earth. I hope you know what his primary purpose in coming to earth was, and that was to seek and to save that which was lost. So the Lord's purpose was not to have a healing campaign, but he did heal people. I still believe in the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I, however, strongly disagree with any man or woman or any movement that lifts up the healing experience above being born again, above the salvation of men's souls, because the Lord Jesus and the disciples perform miracles to substantiate, number one, the message and the messenger. And I want to just lay this foundation for a minute. Hold your place here and look in Matthew chapter 4. If you want to see the reason behind the miracle-working ministry of our Lord, you'll find it here in Matthew 4 and other places, but clearly here given. Matthew chapter 4, look at verse 23. So when you come to the Lord's miracle ministry, you have to ask yourself now, the purpose behind all that he did, miraculous, was for the salvation of men's souls. Matthew 4, look at verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Notice the order. In verse 23, he went about, this scripture says, all Galilee. Number one, what was he doing? Teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel. Miracles are not listed until the latter part of the verse. You see that? It's teaching first, then it's preaching, and then it says, and healing all manner of sickness. So you better give to miracles the same place and priority as Jesus Christ gives to them. Yeah. Teaching and preaching first, and then miracles to back up the claim of the one doing the preaching. Now, we're all in agreement on that, I hope. So the purpose of Truth Baptist Church primarily is to be a vessel through whom Jesus Christ can save those which were lost. Amen. I do believe that God heals his children. And I'll tell you something, folks. If you had to make a choice between the physical healing of your body and the salvation of your soul, I hope you know which one you ought to choose. It would be vain and without profit for God to heal a man's body and give that man perfect health on this earth and that man still die and go to hell anyway. But I do believe in the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now go back to Matthew chapter 8 here and see what the Lord can show us about this leper. I don't have to tell you that leprosy was a death sentence. Leprosy was the most feared disease in that part of the world at that time. How many of you have seen leper colonies on the news and so forth? There's still parts of our world where lepers still live. It's a terrible thing. It's a wasting away. I mean, literally, these people, their bodies are consuming away while they yet live and breathe. That's a picture of sin in Scripture, leprosy. It spreads. It's a death sentence. And here you see our Lord didn't shy away from people like that. Can you imagine living as a leper? A leper were to come into a congregation of people like this. Let's say a leper came into this congregation under the Old Testament. He had to do something very peculiar. He had to take his forefinger and put it over his lip and say, unclean, unclean. Yeah. You know what he's saying? Stay away from me, I'm a leper. The only folks that felt comfortable around lepers were other lepers. You know, that's a picture of everybody in this house tonight before you trusted Christ as your Savior. You know, you were just a dead man walking. You were living under a death sentence. Then the Lord came. Look what this text tells us. Back to chapter 8, verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Here's the first lesson the Lord showed me in this passage, and it's a beautiful lesson. And I'm sure you can say amen to the fact you've been there. This miracle was accomplished by the power of Christ only through the faith of that leper. Amen. Notice what he says here in verse 2. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Notice the leper's statement. The leper looked at our Lord and said, if thou canst. Now, is that what he said? Notice, he didn't say, if thou canst. The scripture said, if thou wilt. Can I tell you something, folks? I've never lost a second's worth of sleep worrying about whether or not the Lord could answer my prayer. I've never lost a second of sleep worrying about the ability of Jesus Christ. You know what causes you and I to walk the floors at night? Not his ability, but his willingness. You see that? I mean, I've never worried whether or not the Lord has enough power to meet the request I bring to him. And this leper knew that. This leper said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. The question was not whether or not the Lord could do it. Notice, the question was, would he do it? Now, I want you to hold your place here and look at a classic example of this. Back in Daniel chapter 3, we remember old Daniel, don't we? Maybe some of you have not again, Daniel. But there's a lesson here, chapter 3, that demonstrates this fact perfectly. So the first lesson the Lord showed me, looking at this miracle, Matthew chapter 8 again, was I need not spend one moment of my time worrying about whether or not the Lord could do something. What I'm to pray for is, Lord, will you do it? I've never questioned the ability of my Lord to do anything he pleases. Daniel chapter 3. Now, this wasn't, I'm sure it probably could be taken in a comical sense for us because we're not the one getting thrown into the fire. But notice what these three Hebrew young men say when they're faced with this fiery furnace. Daniel chapter 3. Look at verse number 16. Daniel 3:16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. They did not question the Lord's ability. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. Now let's read the next three words together. But if not. Everybody see it? They said, the Lord is able to deliver us from this fiery furnace. He's able to do it. But if he doesn't, how many of you have been there? You've been there in your life? Praying for something? And your anxiety doesn't come with whether or not the Lord can do it. The question in your heart is, will he do it? These three young men, they say here in verse 18, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now, I want to tell you something that you probably already know. The next time you find yourself in a situation like this, facing a fiery furnace, or in the place of that leper where you just don't know where the answer is going to come from, rest in the knowledge that God can do all things. And here, that's only half of the equation. And then trust him to give you the grace to accept whether he does or whether he doesn't. Now that's where faith comes in. I can say to my prayers, Lord, I know you're able, but what I'm asking for, God, is you would give me the grace to accept whatever your will might be in that particular situation. So back to Matthew chapter 8 here, you see this man, he's a leper, and he said, Lord, you can do it. My question is, will you do it? Now, that must have pleased the Lord. I'll just be honest. That must have pleased the Lord. That response of that leper must have pleased the Lord, because notice what the Lord does in the very next verse, verse 3. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. Isn't it a wonderful day when God answers your prayers and the way you prayed and you see things working out for your good and for his glory? You want to see prayers answered? Learn to pray like this man. Learn to say, Lord, I know I'm confident in your ability. I'm bringing my request to you. I'm going to trust the answer you give. So we see here, the Lord healed this man. Here's something else I want you to see here. Look at verse 2 again. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him. Notice this. He worshipped the Lord before he was healed. He didn't withhold worship from Jesus Christ. He worshipped him before he had any assurance that Jesus Christ would heal him at all. And I say this to you folks, Jesus Christ is worthy of our worship. Amen. Not simply for what he does, but for who he is. Amen. Wouldn't the Lord Jesus Christ be worthy of your worship if he never answered another prayer you ever prayed to him again? Amen. I mean, wouldn't he be worthy? This man worshipped the Lord when as yet he had received no promise of being healed. Now, that's where, folks, I'll be honest with you, that's when faith has to come in. When you can worship the Lord and thank the Lord before the answer even comes, when your faith is stronger, God begins to work on you. And there's a principle here. Turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6 just for a moment. I wonder what it would do for our worship and our prayer life if every one of us truly got it settled down in our heart that the Lord Jesus is worthy of our praise because of who he is, not primarily because of what he does. Now, we are to thank him for what he does. When he answers prayer requests, we are to give him praise and thanks. But, you know, God's still worthy of your praise even when he tells you no. Isn't he? Some of you are dropping off now. I can tell I'm losing. It's easy to praise the Lord when he answers the prayer in the way you think you ought to answer it. But do you worship him even when he doesn't answer the prayer the way you think it ought to be or the way you'd like it to be? He's worthy. Isaiah chapter 6. Notice this vision that Isaiah had of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 6. I encourage you to read this entire chapter when you have an opportunity. But in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Did you catch that? Verse 3, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Says nothing about his works in verse number 3. Nothing about the works of God in verse 3. Do you know why these seraphim are praising the Lord? Do you know why they're saying holy, holy, holy? Because he is the Lord of all the earth. You know where I want to get to in my Christian life? And I think I can speak for you. I hope I can. I want to get to the place where I desire the miracle worker more than I desire the miracle. I want to get to where I desire the Lord more than I desire what he can do for me. It's easy to ask for things. And we're good at asking for things. But don't you think it must please the Lord when he looks down upon our heart and he sees us down here, praising him, loving him, thanking him. Not with a long grocery list attached to it all the time, but just saying, Lord, I'm praising you, not for what you can do for me. I'm going to spend some time praising you for who you are. So I want to ask you, do you desire the works of God more than you desire God himself? Hope this doesn't happen, but I want to tell you something. If you were to go home and find your house to be burned down tonight, God'd still be worthy of your praise. Amen. Hope it doesn't happen, but if you were to get a test tomorrow that had some terrible disease, God would still be worthy of your praise and of my praise. This leper worshipped the Lord before he had any promise that he would be healed. Now let's go back there to Matthew chapter 8. I hope you don't take this the wrong way tonight. I'm not telling you that you should stop asking for things you need. Certainly not. The Lord told us to ask and seek and knock. But if you find your desire is more for those things that God can do for you, more than you desire God for who He is, I'm afraid your priorities are heading in the wrong direction. Amen. Do you know what it was that Mary was doing there in the living room that day, 2,000 years ago? She wasn't asking the Lord for anything. She was sitting at His feet, enjoying His presence. And Jesus said, Mary has chosen the good part. So do you love the Lord for who He is? If you're not careful, you can spend your time dwelling on what He can do for you instead of just saying, you're the Lord. Even if I don't experience another day of health the rest of my life, even if I know nothing but sorrow and trial here on this earth until the day the Lord takes me home, He's still worthy of our praise and of our honor. Amen. And this leper knew enough in chapter 8 to worship the Lord. Verse 2, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. You remember that model prayer that Jesus taught His disciples. He said, when you pray, say, Our Father who art in heaven. Remember how that prayer began? Right. Hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then He started asking for things. Amen. Then He said, give us this day. But the prayer started not with a request, but with a praise. Hallowed be Thy name. I want to ask you a question. How do your prayers begin nowadays? Do you rush right in His presence with everything you want from Him? Say, here's my list, Lord. Thanks. I'll come pick it up later. We get a lot of our shopping here at the church from Staples. How many of you know the Staples, the office store? They've got this tremendous thing. It's called a one-hour pickup now. And you can call them up and give them your order or go online, and they can guarantee to have it ready for you in an hour. Easiest thing in the world. You type your order in, call it in, you go pick it up, they have it ready for you. Depending on who's working, they might even bring it out to the car to you, load it up. If you're not careful, you can get to where you start treating God that way. And we can leave our prayer request, say, Lord, I'm going to pick it up at this and such time. I want it to be ready here. If you don't mind, I'll back my car right up. Just load it in. Thank you. Amen? What the Lord's teaching me, however, is to say, Lord, I want to spend some time praising You for who You are. Just because You're God. And then later, Lord, we'll get to those things I have to ask You for. But for now, Lord, let me just praise You for who You are. You know, that must do something to the heart of the Lord. See this leper here again. He'd had no promise God was going to heal him, but he came and he worshiped Him. I'll tell you what happens to your praise and your prayer life. If you praise God only when things go your way, if you've fallen into the rut of praising God only during the good times, what's going to happen to your praise when things aren't so good anymore? Amen. What's going to happen? This leper worshiped the Lord anyway. Now, go back to the text here. Let's see what else the Lord has for us. Verse 2, and behold, there came a leper and worshiped Him, saying, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth His hand and touched him, saying, I will, be Thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Notice the power here. Verse number 3, the power is in these few words, be Thou clean. You know the power that Christ uses to come to your rescue, to come to your need, is His Word. Amen. The Lord didn't wave some magic wand here. The Lord didn't perform any trick. You know, the hand is quicker than the eye. The power behind this man's cleansing was His Word. Can I tell you something? Don't underestimate the power of the Word of the Lord. Amen. Don't underestimate it. I'm thankful I can be a pastor of a church full of people Amen. That love His Word. That's right. Folks, I don't know if you realize it or not, but it's not everywhere. You can get folks to come out on a Wednesday night just to listen to somebody Amen. In his feeble attempt try to read and teach the Word. Mm-hmm. Not every place you can find that. I believe the folks in this room appreciate the Word of God, and I believe you know something about its power. All the Lord used in healing this man's body was His Word. The Lord said, I will be thou clean. You know, you can't get saved without the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I don't believe you can have a full prayer life without the Word of God. Jesus said, if my words abide in you, ask what you will.
Amen. Right.
So if His words aren't abiding in you, how do you know your prayer life is all that it should be?
Right.
Didn't Jesus say, if you love me, keep my commandments? All right, if you don't have His commandments, if you don't know His commandments, how do you know you love Him like you should?
That's good.
What the Lord's telling us here in this parable, in this passage, only His word is needed. I want to tell you folks something. I love you and I want you to hear me well. There's not a need in your life that can't be met by the Word of God.
Amen.
I don't care what your need is. There's enough power in the words of Jesus Christ to meet every need you've ever had. It's His Word that sustains us. That's all this leopard had to go on. Notice something else here back in verse number 3. And Jesus put forth His hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Notice about this cleansing. It was immediate and it was complete. There was no process to this man's healing. The Lord did not say, we'll start the process today and you come back tomorrow, make an appointment with my secretary and I'll see you in the office for a period of days and weeks. Folks, when the Lord healed the man, it was instant. That's a picture of our salvation. And I'll tell you something that worries me, and it's happened in this church. There's just a couple I had a conversation with, and they're not here tonight, but it worries me. You talk to folks about their salvation, and they can't tell you for sure.
Amen.
That there was a time they went from being lost to being saved.
Amen.
They talk about being saved as it's something they're still working on. But folks, salvation from sin is the same as the salvation this leper experienced. He went from being a leper one moment to being cleansed the next.
Amen.
It was immediate. Amen. Salvation is not a process, it's an event.
Amen. That's good.
Now there is an aspect of salvation, folks, that is being carried on in the present tense, and that's called sanctification.
That's good.
And I'll agree with you, sanctification is the thing that goes on until you leave this earth. But I'm talking about being justified before God. You go from being a sinner to a saint in just a matter of 2 or 3 seconds.
Amen.
That's how birth is, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you're unborn, and then what happens the next moment? Here's the baby. Aren't you ladies, aren't you glad it's not a 20 or 30 year process? Amen? I mean, it happens, right? What I'm saying is I worry about folks.
Right.
Who have the idea that they're being saved or they hope they'll eventually be saved. I can tell you, I have been saved.
Amen.
That's an arrogant statement in the ears of some people. They say, you really can't know, you can't be sure that you're saved. How do you explain the fact that everybody in the New Testament knew where they were going when they died?
Amen.
They knew it. Paul said, I know whom I have believed.
Right.
This man's salvation was instant and it was immediate and it was complete. I hope everybody in this room can say, I remember well, I went from being a sinner to being a child of God.
Amen.
Now, I'm not one of these that say you have to remember exactly the time and the second and remember what color the sky was outside. You're really not saved. I'm saying there better have been a time in your life you know that you were born into the family of God.
Amen.
Has there ever been that experience with you?
Amen.
There has for me. I went from being dead to alive. That's how this man's healing was. The scripture said, see it, verse 3, and immediately his leprosy was cleansed. I've been saved. I can tell you that. It's done. It is finished. But there's an aspect of where I'm becoming more like Jesus Christ every day if I yield to Him. But my salvation is not in question in that respect. My sanctification is what we're dealing with in that realm. So this man went from being a leper to being cleansed. Now I want to give you this finally. Notice what the Lord tells him. Verse number 4. And when you put your finger there in verse 4 and find Leviticus 14. Find Leviticus 14 and keep your finger here in Matthew 8. It's one thing I appreciate about birth. And the Lord's let me be there, experienced it 5 times. I think I'm pretty much an expert on it now. One thing I've always appreciated about birth, and you ladies, I'm sure you appreciate it too, the fact that it's complete. I mean, it's irreversible.
That's right. Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Isn't it?
Amen.
I mean, folks, they don't come with gift receipts in case you want to send them back. I mean, they're there. I thank the Lord that my salvation is instant, complete, and it's irreversible.
Amen.
I hope you got that kind of salvation.
Yep.
We've got some good advice for you. If you've got the salvation you can lose, if I were you, I'd lose it as quick as I could.
Amen.
And get the kind you can't lose.
Amen. Good.
Jesus said, "No man shall pluck them out of my hand." Now, us Baptists get a bad rep for preaching that way sometimes because folks say, well, that could lead a man to live any way he wants to. I can't help what that may lead a man to do if it's in the Bible. That's the truth of it.
Amen.
But the true grace of God, people want to look at the fellow and say, well, he claimed to be saved and then he got out and got drunk and all this business. I think sometimes we call too many people saved who may not really be saved at all. But the Bible teaches in the book of Titus that the grace of God hath appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen?
I don't know of a truly born again man or woman who has the idea, well, now I'm saved, I can live the way I want to live and still go to heaven.
Nope.
I don't know anybody that believes that. Anybody here believe that?
No.
Truly born again people, if their heart's right with the Lord, they say, you know, I'm not perfect yet, but I'm not happy about it.
Amen.
I want to be right. I want to do those things that please the Lord. Do you have a desire for righteousness? So this fellow's cleansing was irreversible. But notice what he told him. The Lord said to him in verse number 4, I'm in Matthew 8 now, and Jesus saith unto him, see thou tell no man. Isn't that a strange thing? I thought we were to go and preach the gospel to every creature. But the Lord did this more than one occasion. How many of you read your Bibles, you know that on one occasion, the Lord said to that man, he'll, don't tell anybody.
Right.
Keep it a secret. Of course, that fella, he left. He couldn't keep his mouth closed about it. But there's a reason here. The Lord told this man, verse 4, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now, let's read what he's referring to back in Leviticus 14. What's the Lord talking about here? Under the Old Testament law, leprosy, of course, was a dreaded thing to have. And the only way a man could be admitted back into society was for the priest to pronounce that man had been cleansed from his leprosy. So the Lord Jesus, you know, the Lord Jesus, how many of you realize that when Jesus came, he came to fulfill the law, not to break it. So when he healed this man, the Lord couldn't break the law of Moses. The Lord said, now you go and do what Moses told you to do. You go see your priest. All right, what happened when a leper went to the priest? Look at Leviticus 14, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall, notice the word, what's the word? Look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him, that is, to be cleansed, two birds alive and clean, cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. It goes on down to tell you what the leper was to do. But before a leper could be pronounced clean, the high priest had to lay his eyes on the man and look that man over. And only after looking the man over could the priest say, I pronounce him clean. You know what the lesson is here, folks? If you truly do experience the grace of God that brings salvation, it's going to be evident.
That's right.
People are going to be able to see it. Amen?
Amen.
I've heard somebody say, well, you can't see holiness. Yes, you can. You can see holiness just as well as you can see unholiness.
Amen.
You see, the Lord said, you go show yourself to the priest. Don't just go and tell everybody you've been cleansed. Go show yourself to everybody. You see here, the priest had to look at the man. And when the priest saw it with his own eyes, he said, I can see it. Leprosy's gone. I pronounce this man clean. You know who I worry about? I also worry about folks who say that they've been saved, but you can't tell by looking.
Yeah.
Now, I do agree and I admit that the saved person can backslide and still have the Lord as their Savior. You look at Lot in the Old Testament. But folks, I do believe with all my heart that as a Christian, if you live the right kind of life, it's going to be evident whose side you're on.
Amen.
Don't you?
Amen.
I feel kind of lonely here tonight. Righteousness can be seen. Folks quote that verse. They say, well, you know what the Bible says, the Lord looketh on the heart and man looketh on the outward appearance. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Amen.
That's all men had to look on. So if there's something on the inside, shouldn't it show itself on the outside?
Amen.
Folks, this is a day when we've reduced the Lord and reduced His standards down to almost nothing.
Amen.
I'm not convinced. I don't buy into the fact that you can win folks by becoming just like them. I believe you win folks to Christ by showing them something different. There is a... While I've been unable to get out a lot here, I've been studying some of the old churches. I say old churches. I'm talking about churches of the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And I did a little research on them. And I looked up the Akron Baptist Temple under Dallas Billington. Anybody ever get to go up there during its heyday? I looked up Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga. I looked up these great fundamental soul-winning churches and where they are today. Do you know that the church up the road in Cincinnati, a fellow by the name of John Rawlings, does that name sound familiar to anybody? I just lost the name of the church. What was it? It's a Baptist church up there. Landmark. Landmark Baptist Church. John Rawlings. Had thousands. I watched the video of their current pastor. They don't even have service on Sunday nights anymore. He said he doesn't see the need in it. He's got hair halfway down his back. And I saw the man on the video, and he's saying, we're doing church a new way now. Doing church a new way. Now, I'm not saying about that man. He may be very sincere in what he thinks, but I know his attitude. His attitude is, look just like the world, talk just like them, be just like them, and you'll be able to win them. My question is, if that's true, why were the old churches in the old days packed out? Now they can't even get a crowd to come in on Sunday night. Where are they? I'm just a young man, folks. But I tell you here, as your pastor, I don't buy into the idea that you have to go contemporary and sacrifice your Bible, sacrifice your singing, sacrifice what it means to worship.
Amen. Good.
I believe there is something to being different, living different, looking different. As I close here, I want to share my heart with you on this thing. Back in Matthew chapter 8 here, the Lord said to that man, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest. Jesus knew that this man had been cleansed, and Jesus knew that the evidence of that cleansing would be clear. And I want to ask you a question. Do people know by looking at you whose side you're on? Do they know you've been born again? It's easy to look that way when you're here in church on Sunday and Wednesday. But wherever you work, wherever you go, do people know you're a Christian? You ever met Christians like this? Brother Moon, I meet you, I know you're a Christian, you know, and only after I know you're a Christian, I'm going to tell you I'm one too. You ever met folks like that?
Oh, yeah.
Don't even mention the Lord, don't mention church, anything. And you might slip up and say something about the Lord or about church. Oh, yeah, me too, I love the Lord, been saved, you know. Here's my badge.
Or after you ask them.
Yeah, after you ask them. Oh, yeah, of course, I'm a believer. Folks, if he's in your heart, shouldn't he come at your lips? Shouldn't he be there? And my desire, I pray the Lord you overlook the delivery tonight. My desire in this message truly is to say, Lord, number one, help me to desire you more than I desire what you can do for me. Help me to love you more than I love the miracle. I thank God for the miracles, amen, not discounting the miracle. But Lord, help me to desire you more than what you can do for me. And help me to live in a way that it's evident whose side I'm on.
Amen.
That's what I want the Lord to do for my life.
Amen.
I want to please Him with my life. And I want to come to the point in my Christian life where I say, Lord, I know You're able. I know You're able. Lord, help me to accept the fact that you may or may not do it. Thy will be done. That's what I pray for. Let's pray together. Sister Van Horn, if you just play something for us. Maybe the Lord's spoken to your heart tonight here. And I don't know if I've gotten across what's in my heart. But let's spend some time praying about these things. If you'd like to come here, maybe you're here tonight and you've never been born again. Maybe you don't know for sure that your name's written in heaven. I wouldn't take the chance of leaving this building and going out here on the road, getting in a car accident, dying, going off into eternity. I wouldn't risk it if I were you. Then maybe you're here and you know you've been saved, but maybe it's not as evident in the way you live that you're a child of God. Whatever your need is tonight, let's just spend a few minutes here while she plays for us. Come and pray if the Lord leads you.